dreaming with the Dreamers Podcast.
This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
So it's cool to, you know, catch up with him all the time because can't beat the price.
Free?
Yeah.
Right, wait. Yeah, testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Hello.
Screw it. Let's just make this happen.
All right. Sounds good.
Hey, Dreamers. I'm Joe Pardo, and today I'm talking with Jeff Langley, also known as Geoff, also known as one of my favorite people in the world.
He says that to everybody.
I do. You know me too well, Jeff. He is making his dreams come true by being a musician. And not just in one category of being a musician, but in a multifaceted way. I'm so glad to have you on the show, Jeff.
Well, it's good. It's good. It's great to be here.
Good thing I do some editing, huh? Yeah, it's been a while since you know, I've been doing the show. I've been trying to get you here, but I know you've been busy up in New York, being Mr. Superstar. In the pits.
Yes.
Not well, armpits.
My mother thinks so, at least.
Well, that makes one of us in the world. Why don't you start by giving some background about yourself, Jeff?
Okay, well, so a little background about our host here. We went to high school together and never really interacted too much. And then we were driver's ed partners. So that's how this friendship was begun.
All the smoking breaks.
Yeah, all the smoking breaks. If I was a lifeguard here, that child never would have died. Anyway. Yeah, so I went to school for music, and I got out of college and didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew that I didn't want to quit playing the piano, and I didn't know how that was going to manifest itself, so I've kind of rolled with the punches. And that brought me to theater, and also I've gotten my feet wet in the prog rock scene. So I've basically focused my career into two paths, and I kind of straddle the two at the same time, which is theater and progressive rock.
Right, and I mean it's been a long journey for you, especially with the theater. I mean, you were rocking shows like Westminster's like an hour from here, isn't it?
Yeah, the first thing I did out of college was I got onto accompaniment staff at Westminster Choir College. And then I also started playing shows. Like, it was always my sister's thing. So my sister's an actress, and it was always, you know, I play the piano, I want to do jazz, she can do her thing, and, you know, the two will never meet. You know, and then it got to the point where she was like, hey, Jeff, I need you to play some cuts so I'm ready for an audition. And then the teacher was across the hall and he heard me play and he's like, hey, I have 3 students that need accompanists and an accompanist, not accompanist. One thing led to the other, and now I have a very great love of theater.
Right, and you even left South Jersey to go move up to New York, right?
Yeah, I've been in New York, and you know, I've done various projects up there. It's a lot of networking initially, because you don't just... I mean, in my mind, I went to New York and I was like, I'm here. And then everyone's like, you know, smoking their cigarettes saying, get in line, kid. It's not a walk in the park, but, you know, you have to assert yourself and network as much as you can and get on, you know, the right person's radar. And then, you know, you never know. They could contact you in 2 years and say, I got your playing samples a while ago and now I hear your name all the time and come work for me.
Yeah, it's funny how that works, that people with such little knowledge of you as a person could just be like, oh yeah, let's do this. But it's like 2 years later and you're like, I barely even remember meeting you.
Yeah. Yeah, that, well, I mean, that stuff happens all the time. It's, you know, my first New York job was I emailed someone in January and we exchanged two sentences together. And then in May, I got an email with a link saying, would you be interested in auditioning for this? So I did.
Great story, bro. So what does your dream of being a musician mean to you?
Well, I feel like there's a lot of fantasy about what exactly it means to be a musician. It's a lot of hard work for little pay, and sometimes, you know, there are people that don't even care, and that's, you know, it's frustrating, and there's a lot of stress involved, but, you know, you do it because you want to do it. I remember my teacher in college said there are three occupations that unless you are built to do it, you should do something else. And he said it was a teacher, a pastor, or a musician, because the compensation is never congruent with the workload. So you do it because you'd feel dead if you didn't.
And, you know, knowing you for so long, I think you would.
I would. Yeah. Like I said, I had literally had no idea what I was going to do out of college, but all I knew was deep down inside, if I stopped playing the piano, I would not feel fulfilled.
Yeah, I feel that way about DJing, except I don't get to do it every single day for 10 hours a day. it'd be very difficult for me to do that.
Well, make it happen.
Well, start. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know, this podcast thing is going so well for me.
There you go. To start, add some in the middle.
So what would you say inspires you, Jeff?
I'd say there's a lot of things that inspire me. I think one of the big things is, you know, my sister and I, we're such a tag team. You know, she sings, I play, and, you know, I played her senior recital. We're getting ready to go up to Maine to do a concert together. I think that's, you know, easily one of the biggest sources. My parents are very supportive. And I think it's just a very supportive network that I have in my immediate family.
Well, you got a very supportive friendship right here.
Yeah.
So don't count that out.
All right. Well, and then there's Joe Pardo. Oh, should I say your name on the internet?
Oh, no.
I mean, edit that out. I mean, DJ Rom. Are you still going by that?
Yes.
DJ Rom.
From time to time. Depends on the project. you know, it is really cool, though, that you have such a great relationship with your sister. I mean, you guys do, like, everything together.
We do.
I mean, you've even been mistaken for boyfriend and girlfriend.
We have. This past weekend, if you
know. I was going to talk about my dad, and that was, like, 5 years ago.
That was 5 years ago. No, Lisa and I, we did an offertory at a church over the weekend, and they were like, so how long have you guys been together? And I was like, well, she's 4 years younger than me, and I guess that's how long, because she's my sister.
How was it received by your family when you decided to become a full-time musician?
I think it was always very supportive, and I think I'm not, you know, I'm not the kind of person that expects people to give me handouts. I work very hard for what I want to do, and I back it up with my actions. I'm not sitting at home all the time saying, man, I wish I could be a musician. I sit at the piano and I, you know, work my butt off.
You mean fingers?
Fingers. And, no, well, it, you know, everything. it's very taxing on a lot of aspects of your life. So
how did this dream of becoming a musician come about for you?
I couldn't pinpoint a decision. I do remember, this is very interesting, I do remember I started taking piano lessons in third grade, and I remember after my first lesson that I remember just thinking, now I have something to do when it's raining on Saturday morning.
Other than watch cartoons?
Other than watch cartoons. And I think for like an 8-year-old kid, that's a big thing. Like I feel like when you make the decision of, I'd rather do this than watch cartoons, you're in it.
Or play video games.
Or play video games, yeah. And I was just like, you know what, I'd rather play the piano. So, you know, I never looked back. There were some rocky times. There were some times when I almost quit. But I feel like once I got out of school and I started, you know, establishing myself and doing things, and especially after my band released our album last year, I mean, you know, there's no chance.
No going back.
If you stop hearing of me doing stuff, it's because I'm dead. So,
I mean, I could totally relate. I mean, when Adventure Torium came out, I was like, just, even before it came out, I was like going nuts about it. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. And then it came out, and, you know, it's... You know, it's like, now I got to do it again.
Yeah, I know.
I
got to
invest a lot of time.
And now you got to top that.
Yeah.
So that part is stressful, but it's also the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what our album was very well received. But there were reviews that say, let's see if they can do it again. Is this a fluke? Or...
Well, I mean, knowing you, Jeff, it probably is not.
Well, we're working hard to back that statement up. And from what we have, at the moment, I am... wholeheartedly sure that we will make you forget the first album. It's gonna be that awesome.
And you know, Jeff, for knowing you for so long, I mean, backing things up is generally your forte.
Oh, well, thank you.
Whether it's backing up your butt or backing up a car.
I do have a notorious reputation at the club. At where was that place at Rowan, the shampoo?
Oh, yeah.
I've never been there, by the way.
It no longer exists. So
no, I can't go
no.
back.
You've talked a little bit already about what steps you took to get started once you get out of college. What kind of steps have you taken to further your career once you got out of doing your regular gig at Westminster, really going to New York and taking it all to the next level?
Yeah, well, I really think the biggest thing was in April of 2012, I got the chance to go down to Nashville to audition for a prog artist. I had already been working with some of my friends up here in New Jersey. I had half of an album written. I had asked them, hey, can you commit, you know, your Saturday mornings for the next 5 months to work some of this stuff out so I have demos so I can go up to New York and say, you know, I have this project kind of ready to go. Is anyone interested in doing it? And the guys that I asked to help me, my friends from down here, had basically said, like, what about us? We're interested in doing this. We're, you know, and it's been, and I feel like if there was another source of inspiration, it would be those guys because, you know, it was just like, not even, we've invested a lot of money and a lot of time into it. And they just keep showing up for rehearsal. They keep showing up for shows. You know, we work out things. We balance their schedules and their family schedules. And, you know, and we just keep going. So basically, continuing with how I have moved forward with my career is that we got the chance to go back to Nashville to record an entire album of my original music. And that was really cool. And that was fun. And after it was released, I was like, well, we need to make people hear it. I'm not going to wait around for people to happen to stumble upon it. So I started contacting people and we started getting reviews back and they were positive. People liked this stuff. So I was like, okay, I'm going into hardcore network mode. And then after 5 months of that, I had an epiphany and I was just like, why am I not doing this in theater? And then after that, I started sitting in Broadway pits and having coffee with, you know, people that have had work on Broadway. And, you know, and like I said, like it's, you email the right person, you send them playing samples and a resume and, you know, and they say, you know, let me call this guy. So it's led to work and I've started working in New York and then, you know, I have shows coming up in Philly and things like that. So
before the interview, you were talking about how your first album was so important to you and how you saw it as being not to play at a local level.
Yeah, I think it's important. One of the things that I guess you can call it an epiphany was that I feel like, you know, I'd done a lot of stuff locally to get my feet wet and to learn theater repertoire and all that stuff. And you're just like, well, how can I move forward? When am I going to get, you know, how can I look for that step up in the skill set? And honestly, you know, you're looking at financial things. You know, you can't stay in the community theater level if you're looking to do this for a living. You know, let's be honest. The money does play a factor in it. I think what I kind of juggled with and realized is that your initial reaction is to try to change at the local level, and that's never going to happen. You have to just say, look, peace. I'm leaving the local level, and I'm going to take the chance in the big leagues. And unless you take that chance, you know, there's all those sayings with the cats doing pull-ups and all that stuff, you know, better to shoot for the stars and you'll land on the moon, or keep persevering and you can do your second cat push-up. It's 100% risk. There's no guarantees except that I'm going to keep doing it. it's in my bones, and, you know, I don't care what people think.
You know, you've always lived your life like that, haven't you? Not caring what people think?
Yeah. I'd say so.
I think it's one of the main reasons we get along so well.
Probably.
With all that said, what's the biggest roadblock you've hit, and how have you gone about overcoming it?
There's a lot of challenges. I wouldn't call them all roadblocks, because, I mean, I feel like if you don't just see everything as a challenge, I would say then quitting is an option. I feel like there's challenges that you just figure out how to navigate. You know, you navigate, how do I market myself? I went to school for music and didn't have any instruction on how to market myself. You know what I mean?
Isn't that a big problem today?
That is a big problem. You know, so I had to figure out how to market myself. I know how to market the next album much better than I did the first one. I was just flying by the seat of my pants. And some things I did right, some things I won't do again, you know. And that some of those things I spent money on. And, you know, you live, you learn. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same principle as school, though. I mean, you're just not spending the money on classes. You're spending the money towards educating yourself through failure.
Exactly. And I wouldn't say it's, you know, again, it wasn't all failure.
Well, no. You're taking it to the failure word too literal.
Gotcha,
more
gotcha.
Like, just you're just educating yourself by doing it.
Mm-hmm,
but,
exactly.
I mean, you're not living in your mansion on MTV Cribs yet.
No.
So, you know, I don't know if that's your word of fit, you know, if that's your term of success or not. But you know what I mean.
No, like, I hear you.
The
I
whole concept
you.
Of like, hey, it didn't quite work out as well as I had my goals set to.
So let's
But you learned a lot.
Take the positives and negatives of that and do it better the next time.
And go back for more punishment.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously it's something I enjoy if I keep going back for punishment. So
definitely. Well, I mean, that's the whole thing about art, music, anything that's creative, and sometimes not even creative,
just any kind of entrepreneurial endeavor.
Yes, definitely. So what's been the biggest disappointment so far in your dream of becoming a musician professionally?
I wouldn't say I'm not really disappointed by anything. It's just very hard work. You generate your own work. You have to make the contacts. You have to figure out when you don't have a show lined up, you know, you're not going to work in music all the time. You're not always going to have a show. You can always be doing music and like accompanying people or vocal coaching, but you're not always going to have a show. Like even people on Broadway are not playing, you know, unless they have a chair and they're playing Mamma Mia for 3 years, you know, they're not working 24/7, 12 months a year. You have to figure out ways to navigate that. And there's a lot of ways you can be active in the music scene, but not touring all the time or something like that. You know what I mean? It's an involved process. Again, you know, I feel like musicians are like cockroaches and Twinkies, you know, like they'll figure out a way to survive.
So if you could trade places with a celebrity for one day, what celebrity would that be and why?
Celebrity? I would say maybe, I'm a big Jackie Chan fan. I feel like there's a lot of, from reading things about Bruce Lee and Bruce Lee's dead, so that would be my first choice. But Jackie Chan, since he's alive, would be my second choice. I would say there's a lot to learn from those guys, because they really, especially Bruce Lee, you know, came out of nothing. And he just said, I'm going to pick myself up by my bootstraps and, you know, just work hard and do it. And I really, I've read other musicians who gain a lot of insight into their work ethic from martial artists. Hmm. And the other interesting thing, I remember one time, this is in conjunction with this, I was at the shooting range once, and this guy that's nationally ranked came up and he was saying, you know, you got to do this, this, and this to have a better result in your target practice. And I remember saying, it's very interesting because that's almost the same language my piano teacher uses, because I was taking lessons in Manhattan at the time. And he's like, it's very interesting that you say that, because I feel like there's a certain amount of concentration and energy that you have to put into what you want to do that's universal. And, you know, people that are successful have a lot of things in common, regardless of what they're doing, what their end result is. So I don't remember what the question is, but that's where I took it.
Well, you want to trade places with Jackie Chan.
So yeah, I want to trade places with Jackie Chan. That's what it was. Yeah, so because I think I admire his energy that he's put into his goal, like the wherewithal that the man has. So,
so could you share a favorite memory so far?
I think putting out your first album sounds really good, you know, or feels really good. It was, you know, it's so much work. No, unless you've done it, and I know you have. No one knows.
Not to the extent that you have, though.
No one knows how much work that is. It's not just writing the music, you know.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of work, and it's just, and it was cool just to see. It's very interesting. Every review we've gotten, I've posted on Facebook, and you know, to the point where I'm just like, you know, do people really care about this? We're getting like 5 views or 5 likes a post of these reviews. And I'm just like, but then I'll run into people. I'll come back home for the weekend and run into people from high school that I haven't seen for 5 years. And they're like, how's your band doing? And I'm like, how do you even know about that? And he's like, I read everything you post. And I'm just like, okay, I'll take it. So I feel like there's a lot. It's just interesting to me how engaged people are when people are trying to do something.
Yeah, I mean, I ran into that, like, with my album. It was like, people are like, oh, Adventure Touring. I think I saw something on Facebook. That was you? And I'm like, I spent $1,000 to make sure that everybody could see.
You should have put a picture of you with the thumbs up. Cheesing it. Yeah, that's where you missed out.
You know what? That's why you're the marketing genius. And I'm just...
I like you and a Speedo. Flexing.
Yeah, you could take that for me. And not by taking the picture, you can actually take. Jeff, what do your dreams for the future look like?
Well, one of the goals is definitely to play on Broadway. I would like to get in on that scene. Also, I mean, I want to keep going with the band. I think it was a big gamble the first time, and I think a lot of people liked it. So I definitely want to follow through and keep going. I think all the guys in the band want to continue as well, and they really enjoy doing it. I think to just continue on the path that I'm, that, you know, the progressive rock and the theater scene, and just to continue with them. And I feel like if I'm working hard, it's going to pay off, and has so far.
Yeah, I mean, someone's going to notice eventually, and that's all you need. It's just one, the right person to notice, and it's all going to change for you. So is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
No, I mean, thanks for caring and wanting to interview me. And thanks for having things like this where people can gain knowledge about people that are trying to do entrepreneurial things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it all starts with people who have a dream to do more than what they're doing now. Or taking what they're doing now and taking it to the next level. And
definitely,
it's really important, I think, for people to hear the stories of what other people are doing in their lives to make that dream a reality. So I really appreciate you taking the time to come on. I know it's been quite a few months to get you on here. I know you've been busy and probably, hopefully, will continue to be busy. But, you know, I hope that with you being home for a little while, we could start, you know, do a little something. Maybe just a little EP or something.
Definitely.
I'll have to post some links to some old stuff that we've done together in this.
Let's edit that first.
Yeah, I know, it's not great, but it was different.
It's a good starting point.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more that can be done with it. Just we just had to grow as musicians and as people. Well, yeah. Musician and DJ, but yeah. So
I didn't say that.
Well, I did. Again, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks.
Jeff. And I'd love to have you on again in like 6 months or a year before you're big and too big to come on the show or to follow up and see how you've been.
No problem. And if you want to check out the band, we're on Facebook. The band's called The 20 Committee. And our debut album is called A Lifeblood Psalm.
I'll have links to those on howtodream.co.
Excellent.
Thank you for plugging yourself. I totally missed out on the opportunity to ask you to. So please go check out the album. It is very good. I have a copy of it. It's very enjoyable. Thanks again, Jeff.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.
This is Mickey, and I hope you have a magical day. See you real soon, pal.